It is 9 a.m. This is regular Commissioners Court, May 8, 2018. We are on the second floor of the Brooks County Courthouse. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, this is an open meeting. At this time, I will be taking, oh, let me start with roll call, sorry. Precinct one?
Gloria Garza, County Commissioner, Precinct one.
Vincent Vargas, County Commissioner, Precinct two.
Tony Martinez, Brooks County Commissioner, Precinct four.
Brooks County Commissioner, Precinct three is absent today, Armando Olivares, and I'm Brooks County Judge Imelda Barrera. At this time, I will be taking any public comments. No public comments? All right. Line item 11. Discuss and approve line item transfer of $1,120 from 12050554-5230 supplies to the amount of $100 from 12050554-5515 maintenance, radio maintenance and repairs in the amount of $570 from 12050554-5550 out of county travel in the amount of $300 and from 12050554-9070 miscellaneous in the amount of $150 to 12050554-5105 gas and oil EXP explorations. I don't know. Expenses.
Okay, good morning. Sir. Commissioner, okay. Judge, would you mind repeating what you said?
Thank you.
I'm here because I need to move money around from certain items, budgeted items, to my oil and gas
expenses.
Yes, okay. Ma'am. I think I have like 400 left in my expenses for oil and gas.
All right.
And you know, like my precinct is Encino, I have to go out there several times, and the way the gas is nowadays, it's
Absolutely.
A burden, you know, and I'm here to see if right. y'all can approve or let me switch money around to cover at least till the next budget comes in.
Any questions? No? Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza. Second?
Second.
Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved.
You Thank go. You.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, line item 13, discuss, consider, and act on award of small purchase construction contract for sewer line construction and first-time sewer yard service lines on County Road 202 and 203 for Texas Grant 7215075, contingent on approval of performance statement modification number 2 from the Texas Department of Ag. Is that you, Hector? Come on up, sir. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hector Castaneda with L&D Engineering. This is an extended sewer service for service on County Road 203 and also extended sewer line and pick up another service on 202. This is for that the grant project. There's funds available. We're just it's within the allowable construction funds, so we're just adding two more beneficiary services, sewer services.
All right. Any questions? Comments?
What's the county match, sir? The county
it's
matching
city.
How much?
It's city.
It's a
city match.
City, city match. It's the same. Everything's the same. We bid the project out in two phases, and they came below budget, so we had money left over. And we're adding these services. So the match from the city is going to remain the same.
Okay. So the utilities run through County 202, 203 for the city, within the city?
Yeah, it's the service in the county, it's Colonia, first time sewer service. Yeah, it's going to be on County Road 202 and County Road 203. And it, yeah, city sewer.
Okay. So it's not costing us any?
No.
It's just?
It's just grant money. There's money available, and I know there's a deadline to use it, so if we don't use it by that deadline, then you're really giving back free money.
Free money that could be used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you?
Changing the subject just a little bit, sir, here. Mm-hmm. Do you think in the near future that we can get together the same way we're doing this for the city, for the roads, to do all the roads and within the city and the county? Do you think one day it would be a grant for that?
We could discuss it with Groundworks. I know a lot of these grants, like water and sewer, are like priority. Right. And I know they moved up drainage recently, priority. I know you could submit streets. They might, score as high. But if we put some drainage on it and stuff like that, you know, it'd get a lot more points.
Yeah.
But that's something we could discuss.
All right.
And then we could sit down with Groundworks and stuff like that.
Basically.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Do you have a motion to approve?
Right here, Judge.
Motion by Martinez, second. Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Line item 9. Discuss, consider, and act on considering counsel for Brooks County in opiate litigation approving an employment contract with the office of Ramon Garcia. Welcome, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May I approach the court to hand out some information?
Absolutely.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Orlando Garcia. I'm here on behalf of the law offices of Ramon Garcia and the law offices of Watson Guerra. We're here today to discuss the ongoing opiate litigation that is nationwide litigation. Currently, Watson Guerra is representing various counties. The law offices of Ramon Garcia is working in conjunction with Watson Guerra on those lawsuits, and I don't want to take too long and too much of your time. I know that all of us have kind of been watching the news, so we understand more or less the nature of this litigation. Opiates have become an epidemic. Various regions have been differently impacted. We know that the Midwest has been severely impacted, Ohio, West Virginia. West Texas is also one of the hottest areas for the scourge of opiate-related deaths. To kind of give a background on how this happened, 25 years ago, opiates were very scarcely prescribed. It were really the way it worked was it was for the two P's, right? It was palliative care, for easing pain after a terminal illness, or post-operative care, which was easing pain after operations. Since then, doctors and a lot of clinicians and a lot of researchers started touting the idea that pain was underserved and underconsidered, and started to toy with the idea that it should be treated as a fifth vital sign, along with blood pressure, pulse, heart rate, respiration. And so with that became an increased market, and with an increased market came opportunity, and drug companies like Purdue, Pharma, Johnson & Johnson seized on that opportunity with designing drugs to synthesize the opiates, essentially making heroin type drugs synthetic, more efficient, time release, and along with that came marketing packages. And that's really why we're here today. We attribute the scourge of the high rate of opiate prescriptions and the resulting opiate epidemic to the marketing, the misleading, the misbranding that occurred from 1995 to the present. Mm-hmm. Previous litigation has already, this has been going on for a long time. not on a national level like this. We now know that, you know, President Trump has gotten involved, the executive branch is involved, Congress is involved, over 30 attorney generals are now involved. It's become such a comprehensive issue that it mirrors and it looks a lot like tobacco litigation in the 90s. And the idea behind that type of litigation is, how do we recoup whatever funds, well, there's two parts to it, right? There's how do we recoup the funds that were subsidized, the burden on the taxpayers and the local entities. And sometimes the local entities don't even realize how much you've spent on this type of stuff. We see health care rising, we see increased cost in criminal justice and emergency medical services, but we don't know what to attribute it to. And let me walk through a little bit of this packet that I handed out. You see the second page there. This breaks down Brooks County. These are the prescription rates. And if you notice, if you track down annually, they've fallen. The peak was in 2010, and that tracks nationally. That's the same as it is. Like, I gave this presentation in Willacy County. It's the same. In 2007, that's when the marketing was ramped up. That's when the feds got involved. Purdue was indicted, and three top executives were indicted for misbranding. They pled guilty and paid a $630 million fine, which was a drop in the bucket. It was nothing. So they had to change their branding practices. So you saw the numbers drop. So they changed their business model after that. They didn't stop doing what they were doing. All they did was they started making more money by expanding the application to dentists, to OBGYN, to rheumatologists. And then you saw a peak, and this is the same in Brooks County, in 2010, per 100 persons, that's 81.1. Now, since then, the feds have again gotten involved, and doctors are now heavily regulated. So you've seen a drop. But the wake that was left behind by the years of over-prescribing these medications is still impacting local entities, and that's why we're here. We propose representing Brooks County just to get you a seat at the table to ensure that whatever money you may have expended, the county, the taxpayers, is recuperated. Almost all of the counties in Texas are represented. There are about 15% that aren't, but everybody's going to have a seat at the table because everybody's been impacted by it, some to a lesser and some to a greater degree. And how we determine that is through pure statistics. It's going to be a mathematical formula, and in order to come up with or feed the data for that formula, we would require a little bit of information from the county. But it wouldn't be a lot of documentation. It would be some basic things that we would request. And then we would be able to come up with an idea of just how much money you've expended on health care, on criminal justice, on emergency medical services, et cetera. The annual cost of, I guess I could say the burden and the cost associated with all those elements, emergency medical services, criminal justice, health care, treatment, is about $78.5 billion a year annually as a result of opiate use and abuse. 25% of that, or $19 billion, is taxpayer dollars. And that's since 1995. So that's about 23 years. That's over $300 billion of our money that's gone to kind of fix the effect that has been produced by the overprescribing of these drugs. And, you know, it really has to do with the marketing. It goes back to the marketing and the idea that doctors were essentially misled. Doctors were misled by Big Pharma and the idea that these drugs were not inherently addictive, when we know now that they are highly addictive and they can trigger addictive elements in individuals who are predisposed to addiction that wouldn't have otherwise become addicted because of the power that these drugs have. I brought today with me a proposed contingency fee contract, and the basic nuts and bolts of the contract are a 35-65% contingency fee split. That would be 35% on behalf of all of the attorneys involved. That would be Tommy Fibich, Watts Guerra, and the law offices of Ramon Garcia. So for every dollar that we recoup on behalf of Brooks County, 65 cents goes to the county. That's exclusive of all expenses. We incur all expenses up front in litigating the case and prosecuting the case, and that is included in our 35%. We never eat away at the 65% that would go back to the county should we represent the county. So that's kind of the real meat and bones of the contract, and I brought a proposed draft for the county for your review and your council's review. There would also be a process through which we would have to go involving the state comptroller for public accounts. We've already done this and gone through a redrafting and redrafting with Bexar County. So I call this the perfect comptroller packet because it's gone through the process of drafting and redrafting until it's perfect. It involves a cover letter, a questionnaire that will be filled out by a designee of the commissioner's court. It will be attached to it will be the executed contract, and after that, the commissioner's court would execute an order authorizing us to go after any monies that Brooks County would be justly entitled to. So we have already gone through this process. We've already filed lawsuits on behalf of counties. Some of those lawsuits are filed in state courts. Some of those lawsuits are filed in federal courts. It all depends on who the defendants are. We don't sue any doctors. That's typically a question that I get in anticipation. I answer it up front. We don't believe that the doctors were particularly culpable in this instance. There are some, but you know, a lot of that was back in the early 2000s. A lot of the doctors that were funded by Big Pharma have kind of already been sued, or they've actually, some have gone to jail. We aren't suing doctors. We would be trying to represent the counties and getting their seat at the table in front of the Big Pharma corporations. So the in-state defendants, should there be one, if there is a Texas defendant, it would typically be a distributor of some sort, or sometimes these pharmaceutical companies will hire local reps or local companies to house the sales representatives who go directly to the doctors. I have a list of the typical causes of action on page 5, public nuisance, negligence, violations of the Texas Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, civil RICO violations, those are for federal claims, exemplary damages, which are essentially punitive damages, which means that those are meant to punish, not meant to recoup. So you would be looking at damages meant to recoup actual tax dollars and actual expenses expended by the various counties. And then there's also, in this case, I can almost guarantee you, because this is going to mirror tobacco litigation, there's going to be exemplary damages based on the indictments and all of the information that we have. And kind of a history of how we got that information. In 2007, Big Pharma paid out $75 million to 5,000 claimants in New York. Those plaintiffs were actual addicts and their families who sued the pharmaceutical companies because their families' members had died or they had become addicted. That $75 million settlement resulted in over 2 million documents that were produced. About 1.5 million, or a little over 1.5 million of those documents were destroyed pursuant to the settlement of that litigation. But some of the documents were kept. Some of the most compelling documents were kept, and that's really what's driving this litigation. We don't even know the extent of how much of a cover-up was going on behind the scenes of these pharmaceutical companies and the statistics and the information that they were hiding of the effects and the possible addictive nature of these drugs. So that's gonna shape this type of litigation moving forward. As far as who would be representing you, well, Ramon Garcia has been a litigator in South Texas for 43 years. He's litigated on behalf of class action plaintiffs, individual plaintiffs in pharmaceutical litigation, personal injury litigation, and all various types of litigation. Watts Guerra is, well, Michael Watts is kind of a trial dog. He's very well known. He's going up against some of the largest corporations in the nation, BP, Syngenta. He represented 22,000 plaintiffs in the Midwest, the corn farmers on behalf of the bad seeds that were sold by Syngenta. They are more than capable of handling these large types of claims against these very, very well equipped and highly resourced defendants. This is going to be essentially a 2 to 3 year war that's going to go on, but you would be very well represented by these individuals. Tommy Fibich is kind of the science guy. I mean, this guy understands these drugs down to a molecular level, and he would be providing that type of expertise, and that would be his role. I didn't want to go too much through the slides, but I think I covered basically what the idea behind this is, and again, I know that because of the extensive media coverage on this deal, a lot of this is already known to the commissioners. At this point, I would probably just open it up to questions. I don't think there's anything else I would need to cover up front. Okay. Are there any questions?
Any questions?
First of all, sir, this 35%, that's how are y'all going to collect that 35 cents from the county first before you start working for us? Or can you explain to us how that works?
Sure. That's an excellent question, Commissioner. Nothing is collected from the county ever.
Okay.
We never will charge the county any expenses or anything. If we do not recover any, let's say I sue Purdue Pharma on behalf of Brooks County. If in the end of the litigation that takes 2 or 3 years, I have expended $1 million in depositions and attorney's fees, et cetera. If at the end a jury finds Purdue Pharma not guilty or not culpable, I'm out $1 million. I never charge Brooks County anything. The only way I recoup my $1 million is if I get $3 million from Purdue Pharma, right? Because 65 cents of every dollar of that $3 million is going to go back to the county. I'll get 35 cents. And that's how I recoup my expenses, and that's how I and all of the law firms that would be representing Brooks County get paid. So we never charge any upfront expenses, and it would be purely contingent on the successful outcome of the litigation. So we bear all the risk.
Now, what do you need from us to start your this project or to work for the county? What do you need from the county for you to start that process?
Sure. I think the first thing to do would be to, once I hand over the model contract and the model forms that would go to the Comptroller of Public Accounts here in Austin. I think your general counsel would ideally review it, look at it. We would get an executed contract. A designee, probably your general counsel, would help us fill out the questionnaire that the Comptroller wants to see. The Commissioner's Court would take action and execute an order authorizing the litigation to move forward. At that point, the Comptroller would review all of the submitted documentation, okay the contract, and then we would file. It would be that simple. We would file the litigation, and then what the county would do, we'd come back, and we'd probably work with somebody that you would designate here in the county, ideally somebody who's familiar with the various entities in the county, and to help us gather the necessary documentation. That's going to be our discovery evidence. That's going to help our statisticians come up with how much Brooks County has been impacted. Loss of use, loss of productivity and employees, health care, criminal justice expenses, to come up with that statistical number in order to get the county compensated for their share of whatever the ultimate settlement against these pharmaceutical companies is. And just to give you some insight into how it's going to work after that, because there are so many counties and states at large suing, a multi-district litigation, or MDL, is going to be formed. That's called mass torts, right? And it's going to be formed in some federal jurisdiction, maybe in Louisiana. All of the cases are going to go there. The judge is going to consolidate all of the discovery to make it more simple. And then after the discovery is done, it's going to go back to the respective states. It'll come back to Brooks County, maybe in state district court. It'll get tried here in this court. And there'll be some bellwether, we call them bellwether cases. Those are the first cases that go to trial. And depending on how the juries respond in those cases, that will determine whether or not settlement's imminent. And in this instance, it's very likely that these cases, it's going to be an extensive battle with these industries because we're talking about an extreme amount of money. Purdue makes about $3 billion a year off OxyContin, but we're talking about I extrapolated the tax dollars from 1995. It's over $450 billion in tax dollars nationwide that we're looking at recuperating. So it's not going to be an easy fight. But the process up front, we work in conjunction with your general counsel just to get the documents that we've already kind of perfected through working with Bexar County, which was the initial county that we were hired by, executed through them, and get the comptroller to okay all of the documents.
Those monies that we're, if we collect 65%, those monies go under a separate fund that, I mean, can you explain to us? I've never dealt with this before. So does it go under a general fund, or does it go in a line item for just to keep people away from drugs? I mean,
well, it would be up to the commissioner's court to distribute that money accordingly. Okay. So, but you would have the information at that point as to how we broke it down for you. Okay. So you would be able to be guided on to say, okay, well, we have some here that, you know, when we can fund this department better, we can fund this department better, we can fund this. You would be up to you how to allocate those funds ultimately.
Okay. All right. So really, then it will go under the general fund then?
Yes.
Yes,
that's correct. It would go under the general fund for you to allocate at your discretion.
Right.
Any other questions? No, Judge. I think at this time we need to table it so we can get our county attorney to. Do you have something in place?
Yes. I have some more documents. I just have one copy here, and I'll just leave you with this binder. This has all the documents I was just talking about for your general counsel to review.
Yes, but I believe, hopefully by next month we'll be able to award because
okay.
There have been other.
That's what I heard there have been.
Yes.
Okay. Sales pitch on our behalf. Michael Watts, Watts Care, we've already filed for various counties, so there are some firms who are going to wait to file. Just to watch what other firms are doing and then kind of copy their work. We're extremely proactive. As soon as we get going, we get going immediately. So just FYI for the commissioners.
Sure.
Okay. I'll leave this binder here with you guys.
There's a motion to table by Ms. Garza. Second.
Right here, Judge.
Second by Martinez. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good presentation.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
Okay, line item 10, discuss and consider an act in providing assistance to the Barrios Volunteer Fire Department and allowing them the usage of the J.M. Alanis Fairgrounds for the annual barbecue on June 9th, 2018. Hello, sir.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Sleepy.
Tired?
Very tired. I go back out there right now. Mm-hmm. I guess just pretty much what it says. The only thing else that wasn't on there is a real touchy subject for you guys. Is the Hall of Another Wood. Oh, my God. The Hall of Another Wood.
Did we put $5,000 aside for them?
Yeah.
$5,000.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that something we need to come back to Commissioner's Court for? No? We just kind of just go for
no,
it?
No. Okay. In the budget, I don't that's think you need to come back.
All right. So, just asking for the fairgrounds so we can start hauling wood.
Are you going to contract that, or what are you going to do?
We might be able to handle it internally.
Awesome.
Just renting the equipment for a little bit cheaper. I got some, a firefighter now who's got a bunch of trucks and equipment, so we're going to see which one's cheaper.
So,
and
all right.
We can add that, save that money.
You do, okay.
But I'm sure it'll take at least $3,000.
All right. Motion to approve, line item 10.
Aye.
Motion by Martinez, second.
Second.
Second by Garza, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you.
Just FYI, 700 acres over there. We're about 100% contained. I want to just say one thing. The dozer worked awesome. They have been very, very supportive. David, Richard, Science did a better job than Forest Service dozers did. They cut big line, and they're still out there right now. We're going to hold the dozer out there just for another day to see what the weather does. All right? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for that. Life could be so much easier, right? All right. Line item 2, approval of regular and special commissioners' court minutes, April 10th, April 25th, April 30th, 2018. Any questions on those?
No.
Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Aye.
Second by Martinez, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Approval of bills and claims.
All right, handed those out before. Don't really have anything of note. If you want to look at the totals at the end, we have general fund $86,020.96. We have road and bridge for $10,260.49 and landfill for $36,086.37 for a total of $99,967.82.
Any questions?
No.
Motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Second.
Second by Vargas, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Line item 5, approval of auditor's monthly report.
Here we have revenues for sales and use tax, which was $20,444.56. Included the past 3 months, so you can see for comparison where we're at. Also, for information purposes, we have new employees, Ray Mejia for JP2, part-time, hired 4-4. And we have Jennifer Salinas, jailer, resigned 4-4.
Any questions?
No.
No. Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Aye.
Second by Martinez, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you. That's it. That's all you have, right? Okay. Approval of county informants monthly report. He said he was going to be here. Did y'all get the?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions?
Oh, no.
Okay. Do you have a motion to approve?
Right here.
Motion by Martinez, second.
Second.
Second by Garza, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Approval of treasurer's monthly report. That's line item 4.
Forgetting the number.
Sorry, girls.
Good morning.
Good morning.
April 2018, these are the monies collected by the county officials. JP1, $13,257.27. JP2, $150,289.11. JP3, $96,701.17. JP4, $18,418.20. County Clerk, $6,613. District Clerk, $5,343.68. Tax assessor collector, $86,576.76. Total of $377,196.19. Distribution of monies as follows. General fund, $231,432.79. Road and bridge, $20,353.43. Certificate of obligation, interest, and sinking, $1,439.87. Certificate of obligation series, 2011-472-18. Certificate of obligation, 2013-1674-60. State fees, $101,471.29. Record preservation, $1,364. Courthouse security fund, $4,652.10. Code and traffic, $3,096.20. Law library, $455. Justice core technology, $4,571. Delinquent fees, $6,183.73. Appellate judicial, $30. For a total, once again, of $377,196.19. Other monies received, the GEO County share is $29,576. The health use sales tax, $20,444.56. So we have an ending balance, April 2018, general fund, $873,376.50. Our road and bridge is at $631,355.31. Our health use sales tax is $31,143.83. Under the certificate of deposit, we have a health use sales tax CD fund in the amount of $127,508.69. And under general fund, we have $1.5 million in certificates of obligation. And under the road and bridge, we have $500,000 in CDs. That completes my report.
Any questions?
Horacio.
Yes, sir.
On the road and bridge, on the CDs, how much? How much do we have?
$500,000.
And on the...
And a balance of $631,000.
And on the general?
General fund is 1.5.
Okay.
1.5 million.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Do you have a motion to approve?
Mayor.
Motion by Martinez, second.
Second.
Second by Vargas and Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Let's go to line item 12. Discuss and approve line item transfer of $59.50 from 012-504-55500 office supplies to 012-504-55-9068 contract labor, JP1. I know she's not here, but Rodney, you can handle it. This transfer. Okay. Okay. Any questions?
No.
No.
Motion to approve?
Aye.
Motion by Martinez, second. Second by Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Line item 15, discussion and approval to authorize First National Bank in Valparaiso to amend the irrevocable standby letter of credit number BC0801 payable to TCEQ on behalf of Brooks County landfill for the new aggregate amount of $130,196.76 for a year 2017. This reflects an additional amount of $2,302.10 due to TCEQ annual inflation factor. Mr. Alon?
Okay. This is just a thing we have to do annually to cover post-closure requirements for the landfill. Each year, the TCEQ puts out the annual percentage rate for it adjusts for the cost of inflation. So on the second page, Previous year's amount was $127,894.66. With the inflation factor of 1.8%, it's an increase of $2,302.10 for the new amount of $130,196.76. The last page is just the letter that's submitted to the president of the bank to make that adjustment.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Clear.
Second by Vargas and Martinez. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Line item 14, open, discuss, consider, and possibly approve or reject previously received bids for ambulance service.
You got them there, Judge?
I don't have them. The reason I didn't bring them is because I want y'all to, I don't know if y'all read this contract. I have a few questions on the contract. I'm going to read it to you. This is a contract from the AirMed. And on the first paragraph, it says, this contract shall be for a contract period beginning on January 1st, 2015, and ending at 11:59 p.m. on December 31st, 2017, and then sooner terminated as herein provided. This contract may be renewed and extended by Brooks County for a maximum of 2 extension periods of 2 years each. Brooks County will no later than 90 days prior to the expiration of the contract term give notice to UMS whether Brooks County intends to elect the renewal or extension of this contract. Upon a notification of Brooks County's intent to elect renewal and extension of this contract, EMS shall no later than 10 days thereafter notify Brooks County in writing whether it accepts renewal extension of the contract. If EMS fails to timely notify Brooks County of its acceptance of the renewal or extension, such will constitute a refusal of the renewal and extension by EMS, and Brooks County will proceed with its procurement process. This contract, as well as many renewal of this contract for any term, is subject to availability of funds for that contract period. And what we need to be aware is of that 2 years extension. If we gave them the 90 days before December 31st, which we didn't. Now, when we set out for bids, we had the RFP of request for proposal for January 5th, 2018, services beginning possibly March 1st, 2018, which did not happen. We didn't even get that far because of unforeseen circumstances. I believe it's in the best interest to follow the contract that AirMed has, and I also believe that if you don't want to follow this contract, then we should go out for other bids instead of the ones we have. I mean, you know, they can rebid.
My understanding, I thought that just recently got a committee to oversee all the contracts,
yes,
and so forth, and then you were involved as well.
Yes.
And then David T.
Yes.
And then Ana Maria.
Yes.
And Ruben
yes.
Ramirez. Did y'all ever review the contract?
No, we haven't opened them. The day we were supposed to open them here, you all left. So I didn't have a quorum. Okay? So that takes us back 3 months. We had a service date beginning March 1st. Well, that didn't take place because we didn't take care of that item on that commissioner's court.
I believe that y'all just met one time, right, Mr. Ramirez? That was
yes,
the only time?
Yes, we met one time.
Yeah.
The bids have never been opened. They're still in my office.
Yeah.
That would work lovely if we met the contract details. But it's up to you all. Yes.
Go up here. I can't hear you.
Uh-huh.
probably might be better to just rebid it all over again because of the time length that has extended from March until now.
Absolutely.
Do a new proposal and then go from there.
And we also might have some ramifications about, oh, well, y'all gave us a certain time and y'all didn't adhere to that.
Exactly.
You know, as a commissioner's court, you said this is going to take place on this day and it didn't happen. And that was no one's fault other than the commissioner's court's fault.
Also, you might just want to check with, if you choose to go and go with the bids that are presently presented now, you might want to ask the companies that bid because, like, again, things have changed since March to now.
That's right.
Things have gotten more expensive. They might have not worked. The amounts that they presented might not work for the future. So just some food for thought for you guys.
The mere fact that we didn't adhere to the deadline is...
How many people are on the committee?
I don't know if he had contacted me, he said he reviewed that contract. Mm-hmm. He said that he didn't proceed with the volume. Is the contract, I know it's stated that I think they have, we have 90 days, mm-hmm. 90 days to make a decision. I think David T. had said that we could go around that.
Well, I didn't find a determination of convenience in the contract, though.
I mean,
we can open the bids. We can do, but I think the best thing to do is set it out for bids again and go from there, give them a longer extension of time.
How many people on the committee?
I think it's myself, the judge, David T., Diana Leon, Ana Maria Garcia, and...
Are you on the committee?
I think it's just five. There's two alternates. The sheriff's an alternate.
Well, that day I wasn't here to nominate somebody, so I want Bobby to oversee the...
He can.
Find out. He can oversee.
Oh, maybe...
He can oversee there.
Okay.
Can he oversee?
At the time Bobby put it...
He can. So I want you to oversee the...
No, we're past we're past that already.
It doesn't matter. You still have to open the bid and let the committee see them.
Sir, but we're past the committee.
Why don't we open the bids? Go ahead and check with the companies and see if they want to honor the bid. And if not, well, we'll go out and rebid.
I think we should go out for RFPs again, and they can resubmit.
Because of the way the RFPs proposed, you know, we did have that time frame.
We had a time frame. We have to honor that.
Exactly. They might, you know, again... There's two ways of doing this, either going out for rebid or calling the company and say, will you honor the bid that was presented? There is a cost on their part. You've got to keep that in mind to do all these presentations. So if they want to rebid again, you know, they have to incur that cost mm-hmm. to do the rebid. Some of them might, some of them might not.
You know? Right.
But that, again, that's up to you all. It's either you rebid it again with a time frame and stick to that time frame, or you call the companies and see, okay, the bid that you proposed, are you willing to still honor the price? And if they say yes, then bring it back and reopen it and send it back to committee for review.
I will put the county in liability as far as not meeting our RFP, what we set out to do. And then because of Commissioner Sport, there was a walkout. You know, that's kind of saying it's our fault we didn't do this. You know, I think that we need to rebid to be fair to everyone. Yes, we can set a date. Exactly, as long as we do what we're supposed to do without, you know, walking out of court or not showing up, we need to do that. We need to stick by the dates. We'll rebid and bring it back in June. I'll set it out for another 30 days.
So you want to rebid for 30 days?
Yes.
And if they feel comfortable with their bid, they don't have to rebid. Just
okay. Okay. We can reject the bids and resubmit for two more weeks, 15 days. 20 days, 30 days, whatever you decide, if we reject. It would only be fair to anyone out there that did not get to submit a bid because of the time. And things have changed. So do I have a motion to reject?
Mayor.
Motion by Martinez. Second?
Second.
Second by Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. I will set out everything again to the appropriate sites.
Okay. For right. 30 days?
Yeah, we'll do about 15 days and then come back in.
So it's going to be 15 days then?
To submit. Yes. I will let you know. You want 30 days or 2 weeks? I say 30 days to give someone opportunity, anyone opportunity.
So
30 days to submit bids.
Okay.
Okay?
30 days.
I'll send it out. Thank you. All right. Line item 7, approval of tax assessor collector chief deputy monthly report.
Good morning.
Morning.
This morning I will not have the motor vehicle report. We did have some issues in RTS statewide, so our reporting didn't come out well for the month of April, so I will be reporting that once we get an update on the issue getting fixed. The report I have before you is our monthly dispersed totals for our taxes for April 2018. And our total county road and bridge ad valorem tax is $78,863.28. Our farm to market dispersed totals is $7,713.48. Our attorney fees for the county were $4,801.81. Our interest for the month of April was $41.10. We had two tax certificates and we had two NSF fees that were paid for a total county remittance of $86,576.76. Second report is our TC 168, excuse me. This gives you your collection percentage for delinquent and current year. And right now for 2017, we are at 91.39%. Do y'all have any questions on that?
So right now it's in 91.39?
Yes, 91.39.
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Second.
Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved.
Thank you.
Line item 8, approval of monthly reports submitted by the JPs and the Brooks County Library. Did y'all get a chance to review those?
Yes.
Any questions?
No.
The motion to approve. Motion by Martinez, second by Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Girls, did y'all have something? No? Okay. I want to make sure. That's it, right? Line item 16, motion to adjourn.
Prayer.
Motion by Martinez, second.
Second.
Second by Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you. The time is 9:53.